suitable for your use. Lord, today we submit our vessels unto you, and we say, Lord, it's yours, it belongs to you, and we willingly offer it unto you that you may use for your glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be here. And we thank the Lord that by His grace, He has gathered us unto Himself. Apostle, thank you for the honor of invite. And Pastor Cave, thank you. Now we are a family. And I greet you all pastors who stand with Apostle and all visiting pastors in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, for Bishop Patrick, for giving us a clear, insightful way of what we need to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also for acknowledging our Father, Bishop Doug
Howard Mills.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are what we are because of the Father God blessed us with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I know that you'll be blessed because you came.
Amen.
And like Bishop Patrick said, the keys to doing what we must do is in our minds being the right mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I don't intend to change the direction where the vehicle is going. I like to drive along the same lane. And it even makes it easier since we come from the same house. And the grace is the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I've been sharing a few messages in this area that a person is their mind. You are your mind. Your life is a reflection of your mind. And you cannot be anything above the mind that you have. Mm-hmm. You cannot be anything above the mind that you have. I don't know whether as Christians, sometimes, because when we talk about faith, the feeling is like your mind must go and leave. No. A person of faith has a reformed mind. A person of faith has a mind that includes the invisible. Do you get it? That's actually what faith is. Faith is to believe in the unseen. That you don't see, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Are you with me? So a person who is of faith is a person whose mind is a higher version than the mind of the person who doesn't have faith. And of course, the higher version the mind is, the more it can achieve and accomplish. So as Christians, we need to make sure that our minds are the minds that produces what is expected of us. And then what I'm saying, if you check the manifestation of the different dimensions of the Holy Spirit, six of them has to do with the mind. According to Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, and I think also, it has to do with the mind. So please don't say that because you are a Christian, you are a man of faith, you are a man of prayer, or a woman of faith, and therefore you don't exercise or you don't develop your mind. Hallelujah. It's very important. It's very important. And if you were to develop your mind with the right materials, you discover that you are great. Because of course, the quality of the mind has to do with the materials with which it is developed. And that is why Paul, in his writing to the Romans, told them that you have been translated. He was the same person who told the Colossians that they were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. But you see, when you are translated, it doesn't mean you are changed. You are just relocated. But you are the same. Do you get it? And relocating you doesn't make a difference. Because you are the same. You manifest the same. Mm-hmm. So that you don't go to the club, but you come to church, is good. But you are the same person unless your mind is renewed. Because it is when the mind is renewed that you can change. Hallelujah. It is when the mind is renewed that you can change. So unless the mind is renewed, and renewed with the appropriate materials. Because up until now, before we met Christ, and before we started having a relationship with him and going into his word, what has formed our mind is that which the world has to offer. It has been the wisdom of the world. Oh yes. It has been the wisdom of the world, of which Satan is the author. So until we met Christ, and until we renew our minds, Satan is the one in charge of you. He, the mind that is operating you, is his works. Mm-hmm. You can argue it out, but you discover it later. The mind that is operating you is his work. That's why Paul told the Philippians that they should have the mind of Christ, because it's not the mind of Satan. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So as a Christian, your number one task is to renew your mind. And renew your mind with the right material. Because what is the point in renovating the building with the wrong materials? It will come down after a while. And that is why Bible reading for a Christian is not an option. It's a necessity. Do you get it? A preacher who helps you to read your Bible and to understand your Bible is a helper to you far more than a preacher who comes to excite you. Because it's just your emotions that are being worked on. But it's not your emotions that run you. Or it does not occur to you. That even your emotions is governed by your mind. The way, what you think will determine how you feel. What you think will determine how you feel. If you start to think about sad things, before you realize, you are quiet. If you start to think about exciting things, before you realize, people are asking, what's happening to you? Yeah, that's the thing. Your mind is actually you. Hallelujah. So we need to work on our minds to do what is right. Now, you see, in the area of our minds, I need to just say a few things that, like, as we are organizing church growth conference and things, it's not contrary. Do you get it? It's not contrary to what, it's not a man's vision. Let me put it that way. It's not a man's vision. It's not apostles' vision that the church must grow. It is God's vision. Now, why am I saying what I'm saying? I'm saying what I'm saying because when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, wrote to correct their minds and their thinking that, oh, captivity is for 2 years. He said, no, captivity is not for 2 years. It's going to be for 70 years. But in the 70 years of captivity, there are things you should still be doing. And the reason you should be doing them is so that you will increase and not decrease. Don't tell me that it doesn't matter with God whether we increase or we decrease. It matters. Please, I hope somebody is helping me to Jeremiah, please, as I'm preaching, you see, if you read your Bible, you'll be following me seriously. It's good to operate the computer, but it's better to read your Bible. Jeremiah 29, I think verse 4 or, no. So it says, build you houses, do all these things. Give your children to marry. And his reason for that is not so that they can have sexual pleasure. It says so that they would increase and not decrease. Please, Jeremiah 29. From verse 4. Where is the computer? Here or here? It's here. Please. Yeah. This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused you to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build you houses. Captivity or no captivity, look for a land and build. Because you are here for 70 years. You are not here just for 2 years. You can't stay in a tent. Build you houses. And then when you build it, dwell in them. Plant gardens. Eat the fruit of them. Stop complaining and start eating. Because you are here for a long time. The next verse. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. Why? That they may bear sons and daughters. Why? That ye may increase there. That you may increase. Do all these things. The aim is to increase. God has not saved you so that you'll be the only person going to heaven. In fact, when some people said, where is the promise of his second coming? Peter responded to them that, you see, you are ignorant. That a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So God's agenda is that he doesn't want anybody to perish. And we have to, you see, we must have the mind that it is about God, it's not about us. As a Christian, you must have the mind. Because you see, that is the basis of repentance. That is the basis of repentance. Because repentance is to change your mind or to come back, to make a U-turn. Where were you going? At first, we felt that it was about us. That was why the temptation to Adam and Eve it happened. It happened because they thought that, look, yes, God has made me this far. But unfortunately, he didn't allow me to eat the fruit that will make me a better version of me. So why not, if I've been told, why don't I make a better version of me? But you see, what you didn't understand, Adam and Eve, is that better, so-called better version of you will make you unusable to God. And it will make you usable to Satan. So your wanting to be independent of me is going to make you available to Satan, because I never created you to be on your own. You will always be governed. Whether you believe it or not, we are governed by spirit. Whatever you do, it's not you who started it all. Somebody implanted a thought in your mind. Or it does not occur to you. I'm just telling you, you can believe it now and now choose who governs you, or wait and discover that you were governed all the time. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. And so, you see, as Christians, we need to understand that it's not about us. It is about God's agenda for his creation. Because from the beginning, as Adam and Eve gave the authority for the rulership of this creation of God to Satan, God is redeeming it, is redeeming us, and will start afresh. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So that you have come at, you are part of the redemption process, the recovery process of God. So now that you have come, you have been recovered into his kingdom, why do you want to change the thing to make it about you? Because if it was about the people that were in the kingdom, you wouldn't have come. I'm telling you. Because Peter and co. had the first encounter with Jesus. So take it that they were the first fruits. They were the first disciples. Now, if it was about them, you wouldn't come. You wouldn't be here. What's my evidence? What's my evidence? Go to Matthew chapter or John chapter 21. Go to John chapter 21. I'll show you my evidence. You see, Peter and co, they've had the teaching of Jesus, how they must go forth and bear much fruit, John chapter 15, isn't it? Or, and Jesus has taught them and told them so many things, what they must do. He even gave them an opportunity for evangelism. They went out, they saw for themselves what they could do. I mean, demons. They were very happy, and Jesus said, oh, that one is not a problem. Demons were being cast out. Things were happening. They've had a taste of what they are supposed to do. And they've been told what they are supposed to do. Because John chapter 15, Jesus has told them that you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. That you should go forth and bear much fruit. That your fruit should remain. Is that not what Jesus said? Now how come, Uncle Peter, John chapter 21, when Jesus was killed and he was gone, you've decided to gather, instead of thinking of how to do what he said you should do, you've decided to gather the people how to go fishing. That's what I'm explaining to you, that you see, if it was about us, you would not be saved. Because the one that was put in charge, the one who was told that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it's not interested in about his instruction that has been given. When Jesus was gone, the next thing, Charlie, let's go back. It's okay. We tried. It didn't work. Let's sort ourselves. Let's sort our lives. Please, if we don't take anything from this conference, this is what we must take. It's not about you, and it will never be about you. Tell somebody sitting by you, it's not about you, and it will never be about you. I don't care how much you don't like it, it will never be about you. You see, it is Satan that has deceived us to believe that it's about us. It is not about you, it will never be about you. Are you with me? So you are better off doing what the one to whom everything is about has asked you to do. You are better off doing it. Look at Peter. He said, and went up. Oh, please, just give me the beginning. There's the beginning said, Jesus appeared to the disciples on this wise, that whilst they were gathered with the people, verse 3, Simon Peter said, I go fishing. Now, I'm trying to explain to you, the one that reference was made to, as whether he's the rock or the revelation is the rock, whichever one. I mean, he was, it's like Jesus really spoke to him a lot. When it was left to him to make sure that you will be born again, he engaged the disciples, the people that Jesus has trained. Even if you want to go alone. But he organized them because he knows his influence. I said he knows his influence. Do you think he said, let's go fishing for leisure? Let's just go boat riding. We check the sea. Do you think that's what he wanted? It's like, listen, we follow Jesus, but things have changed. So now we need to think of ourselves. Look. No, this Jesus, don't mind him. His father's house is gone. He says he's going to come. We've not seen him. Look, we believed him whilst he was here. Let's sort ourselves out. Let's reestablish the business. It's not too bad. At least by the grace of God, we have the skills to reestablish ourselves. Yeah. If what he was doing was a good thing, when Jesus showed up, he wouldn't have asked him, "Lovest these things more than me." He wouldn't have asked him. If it was a good thing, why would Jesus ask him, "Lovest this more than me?" Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. Go and read John chapter 21. Why would Jesus ask him, "Lovest this more than me?" 3 times. To the point that Peter was angry. Because after training and after spending so much time to develop you and after everything hinging on you, you are changing the vision to make it about you. And you see, we will, unless our minds are renewed to accept and be grateful that it's not about us, but it's about God, we will not do the things that has been prepared for our lives. Because everybody has a reason why they shouldn't do what needed to be done. I mean, you need to go on outreach. You need to do all those things. And your body is saying, "I'm tired." And your wife is complaining, or your husband, or your beloved, or whatever it is. Or you have some friends that you need to link up with. There are so many things that call on us at the same time as we are being called upon by God. Are you with me? So yes, you will hear the need for you to start a church, be a cell leader, whatever you need to do. Even when you wake up in the morning, early morning, to do your quiet, one of my challenges as a student when I woke up in the morning was whether to read my books or to read my Bible. Some of you have the challenge of waking up. That was not my problem. I mean, there are people, this problem, they never got there. It never happened to them. Their main challenge is the waking up. But me, I woke up. But when I wake up, as a student who must have exams to write, in medical school, we didn't write exam at like the end of, no. Every portion, like let's say, there are different subjects we do. One of the subjects is called anatomy. That has to do with the arrangement of the body, like just where things are. It's almost like it's a map. Like geography, how they do map, whatever, map reading. Anatomy is just the body's arrangement. So when you go here, you find this behind this one and those type of things. Now, sometimes they will say, "Oh, we are doing head and neck." So there are the structures, the head and neck arrangements. When you finish, you write a test. And the test counts to the final exam. So it's like, this week you are finishing anatomy, head and neck. Next week you are finishing physiology. That has to do with how the body operates. And maybe you are finishing gastroenterology or gastrointestinal system, how it operates, when you eat, what happens, and all those things. So this week you are writing head and neck. Let's not even this week. Tuesday you are writing head and neck. Wednesday you are finished physiology. You are writing a test. I don't know how they operate the medical school here, but in Ghana it was quite, and I think that's almost all medical schools. I mean, so when you wake up in the morning, should I read my Bible? Should I read the test book? But by all means, I have to read the Bible. I have to read a portion of it. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that we have reasons why we will struggle to do what we have to do. But you see, when the mind accepts that it's not about me, it's about God, then seek ye first God is not a problem. From today, let us pray that we will accept this truth. That you see, no matter how big your life problem is, no matter how big issues you have, the size of your issues doesn't still change it to make it about you. Oh, Bishop, you see, you don't understand. You are the one who doesn't understand. You are the one. Because your problem, if God doesn't help you, do you think you can solve it? Have you not realized that it's getting worse? As you have tried, you're going to talk to somebody to tell them, then the person you went to talk to rather made the thing, they rather even used your information that you went to give against you. You say what? You won't go on outreach. You won't go on visitation. You won't go on, you won't pray. Because you have big issues and you are sitting down worried. Let me ask you a question. Who has worried to solve a problem? Or what has worried done that has helped a problem? You know what it means to worry? Do you know who knows what it means to worry? No, I want an ordinary church member to answer. Who knows what it means to worry? But you see, basically, worry is just asking questions. But it's not providing solutions. Worry is about just asking questions. Why is this happening? Why did this happen? So what did I do wrong? That's worry. Or unless maybe somebody knows how. How do you worry? Maybe you worry differently. But as far as I'm concerned, my understanding of worrying is more of asking questions. But why do you want to ask questions when you can ask for help? It's like complaining. Why do you want to complain when you can actually ask for help? I mean, you are saying, why me? Why don't you say, Lord, help me? I'm asking you a question. So listen, when we accept that it's about God, it will make us follow His instructions easily. And then we will discover that in His instructions are also provisions for our lives. You see, what do you want? I don't know what you want. Please tell me, what do you want? Oh, anybody, what do you want? I mean, I'm not. Come again. What do you want? My pastors, what do you want? You want money. Okay, good. No. You want money. Now, do you know how to get money? Yes, you want money. I agree with you. But do you know how to get money? How you can get money? Maybe a job, business. Maybe somebody can give it to you. Oh, no, no. All these are good options. Do you get it? All these are wonderful options. But you see, in these options are also many unknowns. Because the person who will give you the money, the first time you meet them, you insult them. Mm-hmm. Because you have the ability to insult, isn't it? Uh-huh. Jesus has told you, lose that ability. But you don't. You see, you are keeping it. Now, the point I'm trying to explain to you is that whatever you want and whatever you need, God is aware of it. Do you get it? And even in doing what you are doing, He knows the wisdom you can use in the same field to give you what you want without the toil and sweat of having nothing. Because we see, you see, Jesus demonstrated to Peter in this John chapter 21 that if it is fishing you want, I'm not against it, but if you are with me or I am with you, I will show you where the fishes are and how to get it. And He demonstrated it to him, and he got it. If it's fish you want, I'm not against it. You don't agree with me? When they came, Jesus could have gotten some grapes and some other things they normally eat, because it's not only fish they ate. But when they came, they went to look for fish. When they came to the shore, Jesus has grilled the fish. So Jesus is not against you wanting to have fish, if it is fish to eat. The guy, he proved to them that the fish you want, if you follow me and do what I'm asking you to do, there's fish in it. So listen, what I'm trying to say to you is that even though it is about God, are you with me? He has you factored in it. I said, even though it is about God, He has you factored in it. You see, you don't need to be full-time for God to use you. But even in your workplace, do you get it? As long as God is using you in your workplace, He will give you wisdom that will cause you to succeed in the workplace. He will give you wisdom that will cause you to escape every trap and evil that is set against you at the workplace. Because you know that at the workplace, there are many weapons that are set against you. Especially if you are intelligent and you are doing well, there are people who want your downfall. And there are people who are working for your downfall. But you see, when you are with Jesus, you are doing, even in spite of your work, you are mindful that this work, I'm here to represent Jesus. Oh, you discover that He will give you the wisdom that you need. Most of us work, we get a lot of money, but we don't have the means to restrain ourselves from wasting the money. Jesus will give you that means. Yeah. Even the one that you have worked by yourself, that you have increased, you don't have the wisdom how to manage it such that it will not decrease, but it will increase in your hands. Jesus will give you that wisdom. Because some of us, you see, Satan, if he gets, he will make you useless from the very start. But because of certain gifts that God has also put in you, by way of your intelligence, by way of your hard work and things, Satan is not able to stop you there from even growing to be a good boy, a correct person in society. I mean, if he had his way, you would grow up into a drunkard, straight. You grow up into a drug addict. You grow up into a useless person from the start. But many of us, by the grace of God, or by what God has given us, we have been able to overcome it. and have become professionals. But you see, it's not over with you. Satan has not given up on you. He didn't give up on Jesus. So why would he give up on you? He has not given up on you. So yes, as you have overcome him at that level where you have beaten his first obstruction and distraction barrier, now you are working, you are a professional, you have a lot of money, you are successful, he still would work to waste what you have earned. What you have earned, he will not make you to put it to good use. Because listen, you have earned 20 million rands. And you've used it to build a house where it's only 5 people that can enjoy the house. Why don't you build a house or houses that 1,000 people can enjoy the house? It's the same 20 million. But what, I mean, how does it make sense that that 20 million only blesses or makes 5 people happy? Didn't you do much? But you see, it is Satan's deception that will make you to believe that 5 is better than 1,000. Because listen, the 20 million house you have built can also build schools or school, a nice school complex. That is still yours. That is still yours. But the community will benefit from that 20 million. I said the community will benefit from that 20 million because out of the school you have built, lawyers will come out, teachers will come out, professionals will come out, and they'll be eating all the days of their lives. Meanwhile, this 20 million house you have built is for you, your wife, the gardener, and your children. And because you are busy going to work, the gardener and the maid, I mean, there's no going out. They all have the right to be in the house. And they fellowship on your nice furniture. Is that all you could do? Yes, you have a 20 million house. Yes, everybody is pointing to you that you are the rich man in the area. And then... why don't you use the same thing? You see, but that wisdom, that opening of eyes, that will help you see the blessing that the 20 million can bring to many, the joy that it can bring. Unless Jesus is with you, your eyes will not be open. And Satan will tell you that you worked alone for the 20 million, so you must enjoy it alone. And for that, your neighbors will be envying you. And the people in the community will say, you are a rich man, but you are helping nobody. But you see, Jesus helps you, you will be like the centurion. He built us a synagogue.
Oh, yes.
Do you think the community, the community told Jesus, is it Jesus? Yeah, they told Jesus that he's worthy of a miracle from you. The reason is because he built us a synagogue to worship you, a synagogue to worship God. So he's worthy of a miracle from you. Even the community were negotiating for the miracle. You see, but all these things, it comes. When you are close, you are where Jesus is. I said, when you are where Jesus is. Yeah. And this is his field, his work. He told the disciples in Matthew 28:18, he said, go ye into all the world. He said, and I am with you always. I am with you always. I'm with you. The power is given to me. And as I'm sending you, I'm going with you. And if I'm with you, what can be against you? The guy, the madman of Gadara, when the people said they don't want Jesus, and he should go out of the town, he said, listen, if they say you should go, me, I'm going with you. It is because it is when you came that the demons left me. These people have been with them. The demons have not left me. So I'm going with you. Jesus said, you don't have to go with me. I can go with you. You don't have to go with me. I can go with you. Go to the cities that are next to you. I'm sending you. And as I'm sending you, I will be with you. And tell them, testify to them what the Lord, how the Lord has been merciful unto you. As long as you are doing what I have asked you to do, I am there with you. So the demons cannot come again. Because why do you think he wanted to go with Jesus? I said, why do you think he wanted to go with Jesus? Ah. You don't need to go to school to understand why he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be free. Because he can see the difference between what he was then and what he is now. And he said, if it is this one that has brought me there, why don't I go with him so that I remain free? So let me say this to you as I end. And you see, all these books, they are there. I can't preach from it. I can't preach everything because it's too many. But I can tell you that they'll give you ideas. They'll give you guidance what to do to be a fruitful Christian. Remember, it's not about you. And don't advance your problems. The size of your problem does not change who it is about. Are you with me? The earlier you accept it, the better you will be, and the more likely you are to have your problem solved. Yes. Because remember that God is a father. Jesus is our lover. He loves us. So if you are doing, and he can see that your life as you are living it as your life about him, why would he allow a problem to continue to persist unless it is for a divine purpose? But a problem that is of no use, that will impede doing what he wants you to do, he will remove it without you even asking him to remove it. Yeah, he will remove it without you asking. So instead of having all night prayer, Lord, remove it, Lord, remove it. Just, Lord, let me do what you have asked me to do. I'm going. I'm just, in spite of the problem, I'm going. The problem will go away before you even wake up to discover that the problem is not there anymore. You see, the world has taught us to believe that if it's not about us, it's not good. And we go with that mindset in marriage. And it's no wonder our marriages are not lasting. Because the concept of marriage is not our idea, it's God's idea. And when you go, he said at the beginning, I'll create a help suitable for him. Don't go and start changing the things. Yeah, but Bishop, what about me? What about you? I don't know about you. I mean, what I know is that if you're a woman, you are created as a help for the man. Come again. It's difficult. No, your role as a helper doesn't change. But your choice as to who you will help is you. So if you chose a fool and you want to help the fool, then help him. Then help him and stop complaining. You see, again. You see, if you have the mind that as a woman, My role in marriage is to help. Then it will make you decide or to choose according to who you think you can help. But not choose according to his pocket size or his wraps or his muscles. Some of you, all you imagine is his handsomeness and how your babies will be handsome. But you have forgotten that your role is to go and help him. And you have married somebody who is doing nothing that needs help. He's going nowhere. He has no vision for his life. All he does is to sleep in the house. And you are complaining why every time he doesn't do anything. And then after you have gone and come and you are tired, he always wants to have sex. Because that is all that he wants in life. And you chose him. You chose him. Now, I hope you are understanding. I hope you are understanding my point. You see, my point is that there are things that have been, that are in place that you can't change them. Do you get it? The world in which we live in, as we are now, it's about God. It's not about you. You are not going to change it. Accept it. Flow in it. And you will find out that your needs will be met. Are you with me? I promise you, your needs will be met. In the same analogy, also, like marriage, for example, it's not about you, the woman. It's about the man and your ability to help him. So choose who you can help. Okay, don't use other foolish things to choose a man. And as a man, choose somebody who can help you. Don't use other foolish things to choose a wife. She has big breasts. How is the breast going to help you? How is the breast going to help you? I said, how is the breast going to help you? Huh? I'm asking a question. You've chosen big breasts with watermelon head. And you are surprised that you can't do anything with her. You are surprised you can't do anything with her. I think it's a nice place to stop, isn't it? But listen. Let's have the mind. And the correct mind is that it's not about us. It's about God. It will always be about God till the end. Let us align our ways to God's ways. He says, go ye into all the world. He's in the business of redeeming souls and establishing them, making them disciples in his kingdom. Get yourself involved. Do it happily. He will take care of you. I said, he will take care of you. Yeah. And then whatever you want in this life, he knows how to give it to you in a better way. In a way that will stay longer. In a way that even when Satan attacks you, it will still be present. You see, the way you want, if you go by that way, Satan will strike you once and then you'll be poor. And all the needs will no longer be met. But God has a way. You see, our life, many things about our life, it has to do also with the people that we come, who comes into our lives. And I promise you, as you do what God wants you to do, he will bring all the people that are essential for your life into your life. Oh yes. He'll bring all the people that are essential to your life. He'll bring them in. I mean, as I gave my life to the Lord and served, he brought into my life the pastor that will provide for my needs. Mm-hmm. Because the pastor that I have, in him, wherever I go, I don't need to think about accommodation. It doesn't matter which country. For most of the countries that I would like to go, the Lord has borne fruit. His life has borne fruit in the Lord in those countries. Said that I'm part of his family. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. That's how it is. I mean, it's like that. As I serve the Lord, as I say, I'm serving the Lord, I'm in this church, I'm committed, I'll clean the chairs, I'll arrange the chairs, at the end of the day, I can see that God has provided in this very same thing, everything that my life will need. Everything that my life will need. Yeah. I don't have a problem where to sleep. Sleep. Where? I mean, any country I go to, the countries I'll go to, I'll have a place to sleep. It's just a phone call. Sometimes you travel to some countries and you say, look, I'm here to rest. I don't want anybody to know that I'm here. Yeah. Recently, we went to a country in Africa. Just for some 3 days. And we said, we are not making known to the pastor who is there that we are here or whatever it is. So we just went Tuesday, Friday, we are out. After about 1 week, somebody, a pastor calls my wife. Say, how are you? It's a long time, blah, blah, blah. And then the next question is, how was this place that you went? I said, how do you know that we went there? And the pastor said, oh, I am a high member. I'm a high ranking member in this country. I'm a member of parliament. He said, don't worry. Don't ask how I got to know. He said, I'm high ranking. He said, next time when you are coming, let me know. I'll organize better places for you. It's almost like even to rest through the work of God. Because this person who is speaking, we are not blood related. We don't know him from anywhere apart from through the work of God. And through the pastor that I had, or I have, which is Bishop Dag. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. You see, listen, it's not about you. But it doesn't mean you'll be neglected. That's the thing. That's the thing. Satan wants you to believe that unless you make it about you, you will not be cared for. It's not true. I said, Satan wants you to believe that unless you make it about you, you will not be cared for. And I'm here to tell you that it's a lie. And I'm thinking to myself, small holiday that I thought I'm just taking a small break. Somebody said, no, next time, please let me know. And the person says, oh, I'll be standing for presidency. So please come and visit me before the election. I'm telling you. We were surprised. It's like, how did this man know that we were here? And he laughed. He was talking to my wife and laughed and said, oh, don't worry. I'm at the top. Yeah, and she said, she told my wife, please, you guys must visit me before the elections, because he's hoping to stand for a presidency. How did I know this man? Or how did we know this person? From where? From medical school? From practicing as a doctor? Or from practicing as a nurse? From preaching the gospel. From the gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. From seeking first the kingdom of God. You want a holiday even in the next village. Nobody's inviting you. And you don't understand why. The reason is because you are not doing what God wants you to do. Because if you start doing it, you see, you'll be surprised how you become so important to the people. You mean everything to them. Because you see, when you care for people in the Lord, you lead them to Christ through your life. The Holy Spirit manifests in their lives, and they begin to see more. They begin to see clearly. They begin to appreciate how much a blessing you are to them. Because you see, as the people you lead to Christ, you shepherd in the Lord, teach Bible, as they grow, their eyes open. And they see things clearer. They see the life they could have had and the life that they now have because you came. So the more their eyes open, the more they appreciate you. I'm saying the more their eyes open, the more they appreciate you, the more they will stop at nothing to bless you. And people will not understand, why do you love this man? Why is that? Because they know that if it was not for you, the life that they would have had and would have led, the frustration that they, by your presence, by your obedience, by your willingness to do what God wants you to do, you have brought to them a great change. So listen, there's every reason to do what God wants us to do. And if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. You will lose. But I pray and I believe you shall not lose. I say, I pray and I believe you shall not lose. You shall invest in yourself, in whatever is needed to do what God wants you to do. And the Lord himself would bless you with his spirit to guide you and to lead you all the way. And no enemy of your village, no enemy of your household, no enemy from anywhere shall be able to stand before you, because God himself is with you. That was his promise. I said that was his promise. He said, if any man loves me, him my Father would also love, and we will come and make our abode with him. And the one who loves him is the one who obeys his commandment. I said, the one who loves Jesus is the one who obeys. And what is his commandment? Go ye into all the world. Don't allow Satan to deceive you from such an opportunity to have God's presence with you. I mean, what is more valuable than the presence of God with you? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? What can, I mean, who in the form of, which demon? Can't you see that God is offering you the best way to live this life? I said, can't you see that God is offering you the best way to live this life? You shall live this life in Jesus' name. Whatever has deceived you loses its power to deceive you today in Jesus' name. Whatever has magnified issues that are no issues before God in your presence and in your eyes, which is hindering you from doing what God wants you to do, from today, it's cast down in Jesus' name. From today, when you lift up your eyes, you see Jesus on the cross calling you and telling you, go, and you shall go in Jesus' name. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We honor you. Pray that, Lord, I will do your will. I will do your will. Whatever you have said, it doesn't matter what is my condition. My goal and my aim is to do that which your will says I must do. What you have instructed me, according to your word, that is what I will do. I will be a cell leader. I will be a pastor. I will start a church. Even if it's 10 people, Lord, that is what you have enabled me to do. I will do. And you have promised me that as I started, you will purge me and cause me to bear more fruit. So I'll do, Lord, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Enough of myself. Having been thinking about myself and all those things have brought me nowhere. It has led me from one struggle to the other. But today, I surrender everything to you. And I say, Lord, I accept in my mind and in my spirit that is about you. Yes, I have problems, but I know that my problems
are no match for your solution.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, bless us to accept this truth that is not about us, and it will never be about us. But even in it being about you, every need of our lives is catered for, is provided for by your own special way, that we may live for you and our lives will bear much fruit to your glory. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.